You know, the song service really was put together for one person, even though I didn't know what God did. One person. So that you might be that one person. See what I'm saying? You just never know what a person's going through until you live inside of them and you feel everything they're going through. And one thing the body of Christ does so bad is to judge the outward appearance, and they never look at the heart. And it's time we start looking at the heart, way past time. And the body of Christ needs to learn to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And if you're called to be a minister, then you need to definitely be walking in the spirit so that God can reveal all things to you, or you can just see what's going on through spiritual eyes. We are in a really dire place in the world right now. And if we don't get it together, we're not going to get it together. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. The dark is going to get darker. God told us years ago the dark was going to get darker. But yet our light would dispel all darkness. So just one of us having a bright light going after can dispel the darkness. Not all of it, but wherever you're at, it'll dispel that darkness. And what would it be like if all of us went together as a group? We could dispel an awful lot of darkness real quickly. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be such bright lights that we will dispel all darkness. Father, I just thank you this morning for those who came out to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, the sickness is in the body of Christ this morning. I know you've already touched them. Now, Father God, let the healings be manifested. And Father, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God's been giving me the message prophetically. Everything we've been learning lately is straight from the Father's heart. It's God speaking, and I don't write anything down. He writes it all down. Before I go there, though, if you are not listening to the Thursday night Spanish, right, teaching, you're really missing something. Because the Spirit of God, and first of all, the message is excellent, and the Spirit of God moves with prophetic and signs and wonders, and God is really using Reverend Astrid in a tremendous way. And, you know, Sister Barbara's somewhere on a conference, should be here tonight, but God told her this was her Kairos moment, because she stepped into something God promised her a while back she'd step into. And as we was doing praise and worship, he said, you stepped into your Kairos moment. And Gemma, you stepped into your Kairos moment. And so see, if you're really walking in the Spirit, selling everything out to God, this is a Kairos moment time in our lives. Now, please don't miss what God is doing for you. God told me the other night that I've stepped into my time, that the season I'm supposed to be in. You need to understand where you're at, or you're not going to know where to go. Are you listening here? And your feet have to be steady, and they have to be sure. You cannot be fumbling around after just doing any old thing. Now, this morning, God wants me to teach on, he's teaching on inconsistency. Now, inconsistency is the relation between propositions that cannot both be true at the same time. Inconsistency is a habit we need to break if we want to prosper in our walk with God. And God's saying, with each inconsistency that comes into your life comes an untruth or a false statement. As long as you allow the enemy to keep you in inconsistency, he has the upper hand in your life. You have to know that you know that you know before he's going to leave you. This is all from God. This hopelessness that prevails in both the church and the world is because of the spirit of inconsistency. One day you believe the truth, and the next day you're not sure that it is a truth. Stopping there, I was listening to Perry Stone doing a teaching the other day, and he said the thing that we're going to be fighting in this end time is truth. And isn't that the truth? The people don't even know what the truth is anymore. And they're turning the truth into a lie. So, you know, this is what we're finding is, and God's been talking to us about truth, that we have to take forth the truth. So I'm hoping and I believe in each one of you in here that you're taking forth truth into your ministries. The people on the street, Mark, they need the truth, don't they? They don't need to hear a lie. They don't need to hear compromise. They need your whole truth. This is what sets people free, is the whole truth. Truth hurts sometimes. You know, it does. It smacks you in the face. But if you don't hear the truth, you're going to go on believing a lie, and you're always going to remain in bondage. All right? Don't get upset if you find out, hey, you've been walking in an untruth. Don't get upset about that. Just thank God that he's revealed to you now that you've been walking in an untruth, and he's long-suffering and forgiving, and just repent and go on. Body of believers, God speaking, body of believers, you must come to the conclusion that I am, and then do not deter from that truth. And as you cling to that truth, all else will fade. All the absolutes will remain absolutes. All that is dark will remain dark. The body of believers walk in such mass confusion that they are not aware of what is really going on around about them. God said that the body of believers walk in such mass confusion that they are not aware of what is really going around about them. I'm going to stop there because I was reading an article that I was sent by the Conqueror Series people, and they were saying 75% of the pastors standing in pulpits are into perversion. That's a shame. It says 25% of women sitting in the house of God are into perversion. That's a shame. And I think it was 58% of the men sitting in the house of God are into perversion. What kind of a mixture do we have sitting in the house of God? And how is God going to send in the lost and the dying to a church that's like that? What we have to do, saints of God, is we have to get consistent in our walk with God. And we have to know the truth. Then we have to follow the truth and quit trying to make the truth a lie. All right. So God said, the body of believers walk in such mass confusion, they are not aware of what is really going around about them. The enemy has worked really hard at getting the body of believers to this point of complete confusion. God says, what did I call you forth to accomplish for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I called you forth to bring in the lost and the dying. I called you forth to break every yoke of bondage that the enemy has these poor lost souls bound with. I called you forth as vessels of honor that would take my word of truth to this lost and dying generation. But how can you do this when you yourself are not quite sure of what my word tells you? Now let's read again what God's called us forth to, because the body of Christ believes that they were just called to sit in the church and do nothing. The body of Christ has just thought they'd be called to sit in the church and criticize your brother and your sister, or judge your pastor, or whatever. But what does God say? What did I call you forth to accomplish for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I called you forth to bring in the lost and dying. I called you forth to break every yoke of bondage that the enemy has these poor lost souls bound with. I called you forth as vessels of honor that would take my word of truth to this lost and dying generation. Excuse me. But how can you do this, God says, when you yourself are not quite sure what my word tells you? God says, be honest with yourselves, little ones. Where are you at this day? See, this every day we should be honest with ourselves. Every day we need to say, God, where am I at on your timetable? Every day. Then God says, where are you going to? Do you really know what, with surety of heart, that you are really called by your Father to do this perfect works for the kingdom of light? So if you don't know that God surely has called you, you won't do nothing for God. You would just sit around. You have to know that you're called. If you do not have this surety of heart, you will bring no one to the cross. You will set no one free from the bondages of the wicked one. In fact, you will walk in such total frustration that you will eventually walk away from me. See this? Do you not understand that this is the enemy at work in your lives? Or did you hear what we just read? We're going to read it again. Be honest with yourselves, little ones. Where are you at this day? Where are you going to? Do you really know with surety of heart that you are really called by your Father to do this perfect works for the kingdom of light? If you do not have this surety of heart, you will bring no one to the cross. You will set no one free from the bondages of the wicked one. In fact, you will walk in such total frustration that you will eventually walk away from me. Do you see a lot of people walking away from God at this given time? It's because they've never been told what it is. They've never found out what God was calling them forth to do. From the time I was first called 40 years ago to preach the gospel, I was evangelist for quite a few years, and I was shocked at the amount of pastors who had me in. God would prophesy to the people what he wanted to do with them. Then after I left, they would tell them, that isn't true. God doesn't want to use you to do that. There was an alcoholic to sit in one church, and God sobered him up instantly in that service. And God spoke wonderful things over what he wanted, what God wanted to do with him. That man was so excited. I was there 30 days. That man was so excited when I left. But when I left, the pastor and some people in the church went to him and said, you're an alcoholic, always have been, always will be, and that was a false prophet, and God's never going to use you. He killed himself. See, you know, woe be unto those who put a stumbling block in front of anybody. God knew what that man was. God knew what he was cleaning him up. God knew where he was taking him to. But the people who do not walk in the Spirit, even though they have Spirit-led signs all over their church, they're not walking in the Spirit, and they cause others to stumble. Don't you be one of those. Then God went on to say, do you not understand that this is the enemy at work in your lives? Do you not understand that he is wreaking havoc all across the land at this given time, and he has hooked you with his snare? It is desperation time, little ones. You need to get desperate with your walk with me, and you need to hold on tight to my everlasting arm, and you must never let go. What did he say? It is desperation time, little ones. You need to get desperate with your walk with me, and you need to hold on tight to my everlasting arm, and you must never let go. I tell you a truth. God said you are going to miss out on the biggest event in church history if you do not regroup and regain the ground you have lost. I want to stop there. How many of you sitting here, I want to show hands, how many of you sitting here know that you know that you know that you know that God has called you to a special walk with him? All right, I see everybody, just about everybody's hand up. Then somewhere along the way, some of you, you've allowed the enemy to tell you a lie. I fight devils just like you do. And I have to constantly remind the devil what God has told me he wants me to do. Constantly. If you don't do that, he's going to take you out. And I might sit and be screaming at the devil, but you can't lose sight of where God's taking you to and what he's doing. And if you're like everybody else, he's brought a lot of discouragement into your life recently, trying to make you believe God isn't going to use you and everything's a lie. That is a lie. The devil knows it's his end time and he's taking out everybody he can take out. Are you listening here? Hold on to what you have. Hold on real tight to what you have. Trust God, believe God, and don't allow the enemy to tell you a lie. Then God said, these are desperate times, and you must get desperate with your walk with me. I am truth. I am everlasting truth, and I do not change. My word remains the same from front to back, and it remains the same throughout history. Then he said, my word never changes, never. He was really adamant about that. I don't care how many new Bibles you write. I don't care how you take a scripture and try to twist it to say what you want it to say. God's word never changes. Never does. And I don't care what the schools teach you, what the government teach you, or what anybody else teaches you. God's word is the truth. Inside out. I get so sick and tired of hearing people, ministers say, well, God didn't really mean it the way you're taking it. You know, God's word is truth. God says, where does your lack of understanding of my word come from? It comes from the dark side. The enemy causes confusion wherever there is an open door. When you pick up my word, you cannot pick it up and say, let's see if this is true, for my word is truth. You need to pick up my word and say, this is the truth, and I will follow the truth. You have to be adamant about the word. This is the truth, and I will follow the truth. God said, body of believers, you have a complete lack of understanding when it comes to your walk with me. You do not comprehend the importance of this walk, and therefore you walk as you did in the world, in complete inconsistency. Let's read that again. Body of believers, you don't say the people out on the street. You have a complete lack of understanding when it comes to your walk with me. You do not comprehend the importance of this walk, and therefore you walk as you did in the world, in complete inconsistency. God said, your lack of knowledge is taking you to places you do not want to go. But as you sit at my feet and allow me to instruct you in the ways you should go, you will know all things, and you will reap from the wisdom in the word, and you will go forth as more than a conqueror through my son Jesus. See what he says there? But as you sit at my feet and allow me to instruct you in the ways you should go, you will know all things, and you will reap from the wisdom in the word, and you will go forth as more than a conqueror through my son Jesus. Then God says, newsflash, my word never changes. My word will always remain the same. What does it say in my word about adding to or taking away from my word? And Revelations 22:18 said, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God said, you better believe on me when I say I am consistent. He never changes. He's the same always. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Do you know how many people are sitting in the house of God today that have still not made a decision whether or not they're going to follow God or not? They're still trying to make up their mind, do I really want to follow him? Is this really the truth? God said he's going to bring the world in it, and he'll give the world your mantles, because the world will believe. Some of you sitting here today, your ministry should already be on the road, and they're not. Where am I at? God said, this is what is going on today. My people are not answering me when I ask them, what do they really believe in? They just shrug their shoulders and walk away. These ones never understand that they are shrugging away my son Jesus, who suffered and died for them and made a way of escape for them. They do not understand the full consequences of this action. Some of their misunderstanding comes from lack of truthful teaching of my word, but they have the option of learning from themselves what my word says. All right, it says there some of their misunderstanding comes from a lack of truthful teaching of my word. If there's what they say, 75% of pastors in the pulpits are into perversion, they're not going to teach against perversion. They're not ever going to bring that subject up. And I've told you that over and over and over again. What the pastor is guilty of, they never preach about. Because if you preach about it, then you've already learned about it, and you'll be held accountable for what you do. You're going to be held accountable anyhow. But they don't want to walk around feeling guilty, because they themselves. What did God say about this pulpit? If you're going to teach it, then be living it. And if you can't live it, don't stand behind this pulpit and teach it. All right? That should be any pulpit you stand behind. If you aren't living it, then don't teach it. Because you're gonna be judged and held accountable for it. 1 Kings 18:17 says, "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. How in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals.'" You can't blame somebody else for your problem. You know, we can't get inside your head and make you believe God. We can't get inside of you and make you walk the walk with God. That's your problem. You are the one who has to walk out your salvation. I can't walk it out for you. Nobody else can walk it out for you. And if the enemy's fighting you, and I know the enemy's fighting you because he fights me every day. Every day. And anybody that's really doing anything for God, you're being fought every day by the devil. Because he's trying to take you out before you really do the dirty works to his kingdom. Why do you give in to all this junk? You know, when Larry died, you know, he thought he had me all set up for life. He thought I was going to live high in the hog. Well, he didn't do the right paperwork, and I'm not living nowhere. I mean, you know, I'm not getting nothing. Did I go into worry and fret? Nope. Because I know that my God is my supplier. He tells me that over, I am your supplier. I didn't worry about it, and I'm still not worrying about it, because God said he would take care of me. End of discussion. I'm not going to walk around here and lose my salvation over something like that. Either I'm his and he takes care of me, or I'm not his and he's not going to take care of me. Are you understanding this? See, but I know that I'm his. And I know what he's been telling me all the days of my life. And I look back to when I was a real young child, and I look at how, you know, God brought me up and how he kept me safe. And I know I'm his. I've always been in his hand. You know, they say don't look back, but sometimes you have to go back and see how God brought you through all your troubling times. Why? So it can encourage you and let you see that God was always with you, and he never left you, nor did he forsake you. He was always there, no matter what went on in your life. I've died 3 times. He brought me back. You know? He had to be with me, right? The 2 times I drowned, the people don't know where the man came from. They don't know where he went to. That was an angel of God that got in the water and got me and brought me back out, right? And so I know, looking back on my life, I know that God's always been with me. And so many other things, bad things were going to happen in my life, but something happened right at the last moment, and I was rescued. God has me. So you have to really look at your life and see where you were and how you got out of the situation. You didn't. God supernaturally made a way. All right. Is he ordering your footsteps or is he not? That's what you have to determine this morning. Is God ordering your footsteps or is he not? If he's ordering your footsteps and you're walking in the path he wants you to go, and he's taking care of you. All right. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you, he's talking to the church. "For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." That's true. I see it all the time. "Woe to you blind guides who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anus and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." He's talking to the house of God. "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are I'm sorry, you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's why God says, quit looking at the outward appearance and look through the eyes of Jesus and see what's really going on in the heart. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? That's what God has to say to the church. And the same thing's going on in the church today as it was way back then in the Bible. If you really look at the Bible, everything that went on in the Bible is going on today. Well, they say history repeats itself. And, you know, when I came to that knowledge of quite a few years ago, I thought, isn't this awesome? It just keeps going around and around and around, doesn't it? And we haven't learned yet, have we? We really haven't learned yet. Church, it's time we wake up. The souls out there are lost and they're dying because we're still asleep. Are you listening here? God said, I am calling you to be temperate in all things. And temperate means showing self-restraint, showing moderation in response. God said, if you will be temperate in all things, you will never walk in inconsistency. Did you catch that? You must learn to gauge all things and always bring all things to the throne of grace. You must learn to gauge all things and always bring all things to the throne of grace. Where else can you learn how to handle situations that occur in your life? Far too many are living in the earthly realm and then blaming me when things go wrong. Hello, body of Christ. I know that's a fact because I hear it. It's not God's fault. God says, walk in the Spirit, and as you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you will not walk in inconsistency, and the enemy will not be able to pull you off course. Not. Catch that? And Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How are you supposed to walk? In the Spirit. Years ago, God told us, Spirit is called unto Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, I can't use you. Isn't that what he told us years ago? He said, religion is down the drain. I'm not dealing with religion at all. It's Spirit. Spirit is called to Spirit. God says, children, Spirit has been calling to Spirit for quite some time now, and not many have yielded to that calling. Look to your own life. This is what God's saying. Are you walking in the Spirit all the time or just now and then? That happens quite a bit. God said, this Spirit walk must be consistent 24/7. It cannot be just when you feel like it. Children, when did I stop being more than enough? When did my word not become sufficient for every trial you face? A lot of you have been coming here for quite some time, and I know you have great callings upon your life. And I know the enemy is bombarding you from all sides. But I'm going to tell you, if you become consistent in God, this is a Kairos moment for the church. And if you aren't careful, you're going to miss your moment. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you will not miss your Kairos moment, and God's going to be pushing you forward into the things he's calling you forth to do. You know a lot that the body of Christ does not know. You're going to have to know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. Then you're going to take that truth to others and set them free. Now, you're going to find, as you go on your ministries, you're going to find that others are going to look at you and say, well, who do you think you are trying to tell me what to do? Well, it's not you trying to tell anybody what to do. It's the Spirit of God working through you, correcting them, trying to get them to do what they're supposed to do. All right. So why I said that was, I don't want you to get discouraged, because people will come against you. They will say all manner of evil about you. They'll even say you're of the devil. But that's why you have to know that you know that you know who you are, and then they won't be able to convince you that you're wrong. And you can never compromise when God tells you something, and you know it's definitely from God, and don't say it if it's not from God, then do not allow anybody to make you compromise. Stand your ground at all costs. Do you know how many times over the years that I've been preaching, I've gone home and just sat and cried? Because I knew God was telling me what to say and what to do, and they came at me like you wouldn't believe, and I just stood my ground. And they talked about me, and I said, God, I know that you told me to do this. And I had to keep on going. But God is my sufficiency. See, I know that. You have to know that God is your sufficiency. And you have to know that he's called you and he's anointed you. And then you'll go forth, and it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. I didn't say you wouldn't get discouraged. I didn't say that, because you will get discouraged. But you want to be discouraged for a little while. Because as you cry out to God, get before him, he encourages you. He lifts you up and he tells you what to do. I was praying about something the other night, and I don't know what it was anymore, but God said, you know why he said, the reason why I gave you the earthly father that you had was so he could raise you up in the way that I needed you raised up. And he always made me be strong, my father did. He loved me. I was his first baby, and I was a little girl, so he spoiled me. But yet, he made me listen. And he said, your father always told you, pull yourself up by your bootstraps because nobody else will. He said, I had to have that ingrained in you so that you'd be able to endure the things you have to endure while you're walking with me. And you know I tell you that all the time. And my father taught me that. He said, no, when you're down, pull yourself by the bootstraps and get back up, because nobody else is going to help you up. They're going to kick you while you're down. And if you really look at your walk with God, you can say, yes, that has happened to you many times. That the body of Christ has seen you down. Instead of coming and praying with you and lifting you up, they kicked you while you were down, talked about you, and they were so glad that you were finally getting what you deserve. Isn't that how it goes? Come on, guys. Come on. And God said, I'm going back to where he said, children, when did I stop being more than enough? When did my word not become sufficient for every trial you face? God said, you may be asking yourself, why am I inconsistent in my walk with God? Could be a number of reasons. Could be lack of prayer, lack of study of the word. If you're not doing those things, then the flesh is more likely to get the best of you, and your walk becomes inconsistent. The one important factor is surrender. When you find yourself lukewarm and inconsistent, it is because you are still running parts of your own life. You must surrender every area and all rights and every bit of your heart and soul to Christ. All right? When there are some things you just do not want to let go of, you will stumble and go back and forth between hot and cold. And God's been dealing with us about that. He was saying there's some things we're still holding on to that are going to destroy us. It's not about trying hard to be good and trying really hard to be consistent. It is about letting him run the whole show. And when he is, then he is in control, and he will not be inconsistent in you. Now that was what I wrote, so let's read that again. It is not about trying really hard to be good and trying really hard to be consistent. It is about letting him, your God, run the whole show. And when he is, then he is in control, and he will not be inconsistent in you. My advice is surrender completely and let him increase as you decrease. I wrote this too. Actually, the whole of the Christian life can be summed up in, he must increase, but I must decrease. Isn't that what John the Baptist said about him and Jesus? More of him, less of me. The more there is of him in thee, the less of us there will be to mess things up. Amen. Come on. This is a good message. You know, and as you look at your life, you can say, I have been inconsistent. And this is causing me an awful lot of problems. I read this. Until people are ready to surrender, to let go, lay it all down, they will struggle. If you are struggling or being inconsistent, it is because you have not died today. What did God tell us? Every morning we have to get up and die, right? If you are struggling, it could be because you do not have a quality, quiet time with God each day. Our old man often throwing tantrums and causing us major depression because he is determined to get back down off of that cross, and then often outright grief if he succeeds, with that dreaded feeling of now I have to start all over again. Let's read that one again. Our old man often throwing tantrums and causing us major depression because he is determined to get back down off the cross, your old man. And then often outright grief if he succeeds, with that dreaded feeling of now I have to start all over again. And I'm not going to ask for hands, but I know many of us in here can say amen to that, right? All right, number five is our natural man becoming exasperated, fretful, and tired because we can't make what we want to happen spiritually occur under our own power. Read that again. It's important. Our natural man becoming exasperated, fretful, and tired because we can't make what we want to happen spiritually occur under our own power. We're trying to make something happen, in other words, and we can't. All right. Number six, wanting and expecting a miss from God and then angrily chalking this Christian thing up to being one major exercise in futility. Number seven, being double-minded, wanting to have our world and his kingdom too. Our heart toward Canaan while our head is still in Egypt. Number eight, impatience with God's timing. Well, we could get a resounding amen to that. Number nine, attempting to form our walk around the world's / religion's definition of Christian consistency instead of Christ, thereby taking on an impossible yoke. You can't do this inconsistent thing with the world. Number 10, alternating between selflessness and selfishness. Too many selfish people sitting in the body of Christ. Another thing we need to look at is your hardness of heart, which ties into surrender. The hardness of heart keeps us from being able to walk in total surrender. And this is me talking, all right, not God. We have to repent anytime we cannot delight in the Lord. Anytime you're going through something you can't delight in the Lord, then you have to repent. We cannot allow ourselves to go one moment where we do not delight and revere the Lord. I want to stop through the day. I was frustrated about something. And Isaiah, he started making up a song about God, you know, and Jesus. And I said, what are you doing, baby? He said, I'm trying to get you happy again. He said, let's sing together. And he goes around making up little songs about God. But see, somewhere or other, he heard that. It went into his spirit, and I was upset, so he was trying to make me happy. You know, out of the mouths of babes, right? He really has a lot of wisdom, that little kid does. Somebody was swinging him the other day who isn't saved, and they were just singing, and they said, he sang for an hour and a half, nothing but everything about God. He said, it was so cute. See what was doing? God was using that little child to put these things about God into their remembrance. God uses anything, right? Remember Jesus' warning in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The terms of our surrender to the Lord Jesus are non-negotiable and unconditional. The terms of our surrender to the Lord Jesus are non-negotiable and unconditional. In Matthew 7:21, there's been so many days, that, you know, times, and I can't even number them, that I've said to God, please don't let me lose my salvation. Please, God, you know, forgive me if I get upset or something. You know, God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I don't want to lose my salvation. Do you really understand what that's going to do to you if you lose your salvation and you have to end up in hell? When, you know, if you just kept your salvation going, you end up in heaven and be happy. If you end up in hell once you've served the devil and then receive Jesus and go back to the devil again, you're in for more torment than anybody in hell. because you had the audacity to leave Satan. Are you listening here? All right, I said, what does God ask us to surrender? In a word, everything. Come on, everything. Everything. It's that one little 1% that's going to destroy you. God told me years and years ago, I don't want 99.9. I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you. He was telling me, I can't work with 99.9 because that 1% is going to destroy you. One day it's going to sneak up on you when you least expect it and just rip the rug right out from underneath your feet. One of the challenges of complete surrender to Christ is that we don't know what lies ahead. Some of us might be more inclined to surrender if God would hand us a contract with all the details filled in. We would like to know, what will this cost me? Where will God expect me to go? What will he ask me to do? We want to see all the fine print, think it over, and then sign on a dotted line. One time God asked me to do something. I did it. I said, God, why didn't you warn me what was coming? He said, you wouldn't have done it. He said, so I just asked you to do it, knowing that I was going to take care of you as you went through the trials and tribulations. All right, then I said, but that is, you know, the contract thing, that is not God's way. God says, here is a blank piece of paper. I want you to sign your name on the bottom line, hand it back, and let me fill in the details. All right. Why? Because I am God. Because I have bought you. Because I am trustworthy. Because you know how much I love you. Because you live for my glory and not your own independent self-promoting pleasure. That's not true, but that's what God says. Amen. We say, Lord, I will surrender anything, anything except that one thing. So let's just pass that one up today. All right. That is not surrender. That is trying to make a deal. Oh, God, let me have my cup of coffee when I'm on a fast. Come on, God. I'm not eating, so what's a cup of coffee going to do? And you just love coffee. See what I'm saying? He said he wants everything, right? This just came to me, so I'm going to say, you know, somebody smokes, said, I'm going to quit smoking for 2 days and fast, but let me stand in a room with everybody else who smokes so I can inhale theirs. That just came to me, so I'd like to. Amen. That's not giving up anything, right? Maybe some of you have done that. I don't know. I said, if we are going to ask God about our hearts, we have to be willing to hear the unthinkable. How many of you are really surprised sometimes you say, God, let me see my own heart, and what you see you don't like? You did not know that was in there. Remember, what you are in public will never blind God to what you are in private. You might look like a perfect child of God to the public, but God sees all your inconsistencies. Well, what are you going to do about your inconsistencies now? They've been revealed to you. God knew you was going to be here, so you must have some inconsistencies in you. And God wants to deal with those inconsistencies. What are you going to let him do? Are you going to give him everything? Or are you going to keep that one inconsistency? You know, this is really deep, guys. Tonight's message game is even deeper still. This is really deep stuff that God is giving to us, because he is making us more like Jesus with every service.